go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, back with another installment of Scam Goddess, the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Sometimes we love them. Most times, sometimes we hate them. But we'll see. We're going to be on the ride together. If you've listened to this podcast for 4 years, can y'all believe that we're past 200 episodes? This is crazy. Then you already know what I'm going to say. Why have I said this for 4 years? I need help. That's why I go to therapy. I'm so what? Yes. Excited. I'm elated. I'm thrilled. We have another episode where there's two guests. One returning guest who is a dear friend of mine. Another returning guest who's a dear friend of hers and also like the new homie who I've pulled up at parties and functions with. Together, they are best friends and they host their new podcast, Let Me Fix It. That's Let Me Fix It. Come on now. Where they analyze our favorite pop culture moments in history and find out what it would take to repackage them for relevance today. I love that cleaning up the image. Let Me Fix It. Yes. Congregation, please welcome Francesca Ramsey and DeLon Grant.
Woo!
Hey, hey. Yes. What's up? What's up?
It's so wonderful to have you on the pod. It's so great to have you back, Fran. You really brought Brittany Dawn to life. And by I mean, she's still alive, but...
Oh, my God. Well, we're super excited to be here. We always have a great time with you in person. And now DeLon gets to be on the pod, which is so exciting.
I met DeLon at your birthday.
And I love. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I can't wait. I got to listen to Let Me Fix It. I love to work out and listen to podcasts. So this is like, I'm going to put this on the treadmill today.
Yes, can't wait.
Yes, because somebody does, like, it's so funny. Like, back in the day when, I don't know, it's interesting. This is what I'll say. I guess this is a metaphor that maybe will make this work. So there's two people who, one is no longer with us and one is still alive but no longer working, who have always thought as celebrities could get away with things because they were from a different time. Like, they could just say things that were wild and we wouldn't be like, you need to apologize.
Well, there's also, well, there's no social media to keep track of people saying wild shit. Then, you know, it kind of happened and then no one remembers it. And then you never hear about it again.
Joan Rivers.
Oh.
Wow. My,
listen, I'm going to list my two problematic faves. Joan Rivers and Wendy Williams.
Okay, no, this is true. Oh. The two of them have said some wild shit.
They are
both so lucky that social media was not where it is today.
I would push back and I would say, y'all let Wendy Williams say what Wendy Williams was saying.
But that's because she was from a different time.
Joan Rivers was funny. That's why we let that happen. And we let comedians get away with a lot.
No,
but Wendy
Joan
Williams
Rivers
wasn't even funny. Wendy Williams wasn't even funny.
Okay, I'm going to push back on that one. Joan Rivers was funny, but sometimes that bitch was racist. She was saying some racist, transphobic, homophobic shit. And so was Wendy, like, not saying she didn't. But again,
she was from a different time.
Yeah, you're right. Your point stands, Lacey. You're so right.
That was the scam. And I'm like, how could I get a part of that? Let me fix it. How could I
go back in time?
No, how could I get that excuse at my age?
No, you can't. Well, you know what it is, Lacey? You're going to say something today, right? Like, just bad pitch. We talk shit about robots. 10 years from now, it might be uncouth to talk shit about robots. 10 years from now,
when they
the robots will
society.
Be like, it was a different time. They was out here making jokes about us and AI. And, you know.
Wait. Fran and I have an episode on Let Me Fix It about JC. And Fran called him out. His first album, his solo album, was called Schizophrenic. And Fran was like, can't say that.
You can't have the album called, you can't have that today. No,
absolutely not.
So again,
look, I love Beyonce. She's my queen. I went to her concert twice. The second time, I paid a ridiculous amount of money just to stand next to her on her stage.
Yes.
And get her sweat on me, like to be her employee. You know, I helped mop up at the end. I paid extra to mop. But she has a song that I think it was Destiny Child, all of them together. That's like, Nasty put some clothes on. I told you.
Don't walk out your house without some clothes on.
Is that the music video where they're like looking at all the girls and like judging them for what they're wearing?
They put them in like a machine and then make them like classy.
It's all about how like they're hoes and like, oh, would not fly today.
These men don't want no hot females that's been around the black females. You nasty girl.
Come on.
I got a slut shaming anthem. Like,
but it was the bop though. It was the bop.
But you know what? But I will say, maybe I'm the metric here. I don't know the song because clearly we not singing it. Nobody's singing that song anymore.
No, we're not. We're not.
You're not.
I mean,
but Jelani, you must know all the words. Every single word. I know Michelle's Bridge. You're nasty, girl.
You're classy.
You're trashy.
But here's the thing. I feel like we've rounded the bend of being like, yo, yes, I'm nasty. The Amber Rose of it all. Yes, I'm nasty as fuck. And I'm proud of it. There's nothing wrong with being nasty. You know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Which is why we don't sing that song anymore, because it was saying that being nasty was a bad thing. And now we're all in the nasty bitch era, proud to be nasty.
And I think it was also saying nasty was a bad thing because that was in the time where women were still conditioned to believe that like how you present yourself would make you safe around men. And
hello.
Then when we all started to realize, oh, they gonna attack us whether we got on a nun outfit.
That's
or
true.
We gotta have on the whole habit and still literally. Get run up on. So it was like, all right, we're gonna leave this behind. Maybe I'm walking outside in a thong. Cause like either way, if you a weirdo, you a weirdo.
That is the whole ass truth. Where's that song? It doesn't matter what you're wearing, these motherfuckers are still gonna try you.
Like Delon, let's make the song.
Come on.
Fran, okay. Can you help us write it?
No, because I'm on strike.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay. But it's a song though. Now we're talking about
That's fair. Well, you know, another industry where I'll get fucked by residuals. Awesome. Let's do it.
Oh,
I mean, but the other thing I would say,
music industry is really where they get you.
That's what I'm saying. They will really screw you on those streamings. Like you have the number one song on Spotify. Here's a nickel and a ball of lint.
Those good old 360s. Mm-mm. Those good old three, and even in podcasting, you have to watch out for a 360. Like I
truth.
Can't say too much because I still
wait.
Work
I don't
for
even
them,
know what a 360 is. Inform
a 360
me. What's a
deal?
Scam?
Well, they so take three, care of everything.
So they like are basically like you make all the music, you do whatever. We'll bring you producers, we'll bring you songwriters, we'll get you chains, we'll take music videos, we'll get you all the big booty women to like swipe your credit card on their cheeks and all this shit, right? And you're like, oh, this is amazing. But they're like, we're gonna take everything that you make,
everything,
and act like we're owed it because we invested in the beginning. Then they inflate all the numbers. They inflate how much the chains cost, how much the big booty girls
so
cost.
So you owe them money before you actually make any money. That's what happened to TLC.
I was going to say, that's a TLC Behind the Music thing. When Left Eye broke down, this is how you make no money when you're a number one band in the country. That's
they
crazy.
Own your masters, which means if your music plays in a commercial, they're like, oh, that's our bag. That's our stuff. That's why
Even own your name. Look at that's why Prince became the artist formerly known as Prince. That's what happened to Tina Turner.
Yep.
She was like, you can have everything, just give me my name back. I mean, honestly, a lot of people are signing things. They have stars in their eyes and they don't know what they're signing. And lo and behold, they will take advantage of you.
That's why y'all got to fix it. They want to be celebrities. Let me fix it. Y'all got to.
Let's start an agency.
Listen,
that's the next thing.
Right.
I was going to say, Fran is a let me fix it. Fran is a self-made woman. Okay. She jumped on that YouTube and social media platform. train and she just made it work. So Fran is a living, let me fix it.
Oh my God.
Also, she fixed me. She fixed me. No, seriously. It took me like years. And after like, I think a conversation in therapy to like go fully look at the conversations that Fran had on the internet during the time where I was on TMZ and everybody was being super racist and like iCarly. Mm. And when I tell you that Fran is like an expert of the internet and of the read, like just I literally was reading this stuff and I never told you this, Fran, but I was reading this stuff and I was crying and I was like, I can't believe I have such a good friend in my life because I had to get off the internet because they were pissing me off. A lot of people were trying to be like, oh, she's lying.
Girl, I was in Lacey's DMs like, do not respond to these people. Let me handle it. Let me get on Twitter and clock some heads together. You have more to lose than I do. So let me fix it. Let me take care of it. I got you.
Some people have Twitter fingers. Listen, Frank got Twitter hands. Okay? There's a difference. People would be like, oh, she's lying about all this. But Frank was like, she's lying about this. This receipt. And then she'd have like 4 receipts, 4 screenshots. Oh, she's lying about this.
You know I love a receipt.
Like always receipts, always getting people gathered. It was a blessing.
You don't want to be at the defense table when Fran is up there. You do not want to be at the defense table. I promise you. I know this one for 20 plus years. You do not.
It's the type A-ness plus the nosiness plus the like, you know, sassy bitch. It's a destructive combo, but it is a good one.
And her motto is keep everything. Keep everything.
Keep everything. I keep all of it. Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream. And I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream, are you kidding me? It's giving rich, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess. Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks, trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft and it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have 3 different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing it right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows. Cons! All right, y'all.
So let's get into our first segment here. What's hot in fraud? This is where we're going to warn our listeners about a poppin' scam in the zeitgeist. And more often than not, we get a letter from you all. As always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your scam is retired so we don't what? Yes? Fuck up your bag. Amen. My mom's going to kill me because I keep saying amen after cursing, and I'm not going to stop. God know my heart. And that's the part.
Okay.
But keeping with the let me fix it vibe, I wanted to find a listener letter that was like a little Hollywood, a little celebrité. And I want to get your opinions. So, Delon, Fran, I need a fake name from you. I love that I just put your names together and made it like it was a name.
Delon, Fran. Yeah.
Delon, Fran. Now,
Delon, do you have a pitch for a name, or do you want me to pick one?
And gender doesn't matter. It's a construct. Whatever.
I don't know why. I feel like the universe is giving me a Samantha. I don't know why a Samantha's Ooh. Coming, but that feels.
I love it.
I don't know.
It feels right. The
syllables, but you know, it's in Samantha.
I was watching Sex and the City last night to fall asleep, and just remembering how much I love Kim Cattrall. So love Samantha.
May she rest. She's not dead. But
no, she's not dead. Oh, right.
Well, she ain't on the show. She ain't on the show. That's what I'm saying.
Spoiler, if you're not watching the reboot, she's made
she's
an appearance.
She's not even dead on the reboot.
Has she really?
Delon, oh, how dare you? No, yeah.
Oh, I'm
you
so
know,
sorry.
You know what's so
rescinded,
funny?
Rescinded.
I like grabbed my chest. I was like, they really got the celebrity tea. So, no, she, Kim Cattrall is on the reboot, the second season of And Just Like That. But they hyped it the whole second season. They were like, Kim's going to come back.
She was there for a smooth 5 minutes.
Oh, and it was a phone call. She wasn't even around.
Nuh-uh, not a phone call.
Yes.
Yeah, she said, I am not coming to set with these bitches. I would like my own trailer. I would like a green
screen. My own stylist, the old stylist from the original, which was real shade and tea. That she was like, I want the original stylist from the original Sex and the City.
And then she's sitting down in a car. You don't even see what she's wearing.
No.
Hilarious.
And the woman created iconic looks and also refused to come back to Just Like That. She came back for Kim.
Wow.
for her car scene.
Team Kim all the way.
Team Kim. Because Kim was the girl. She was the show.
She really
was. What people were talking about. Funny as hell. So anyway, Samantha is such a great name, Delon. I'm living. Mm-hmm. So Samantha says, I was a little lit when I heard about this one.
Ooh.
Okay, so we're going to let you off the hook immediately. says, and I forgot to follow directions. I send it to Instagram instead of to the email. Here's the copy paste from IG. Thanks for all you do. Thank you. Yes, y'all, please don't send your letters to my Instagram, to my Twitter. scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Congregation now. When we give our morning announcements, you gotta hear them and you gotta act accordingly, okay? In his name, okay? Because I don't read those. I don't like DMs. Fran knows I don't read DMs that often. Sometimes I'll do it, but it's very rare because I know it'd be some mess in there. So, Samantha says, Lacey, love the show, but it's cool if you skip the praise. Yeah, you know I'm gonna skip it. That's how I know you love the show. So thank you, Samantha. So let's get right to it. Got a solid scam that was run on a celebrity rapper, Sad Face, who had a real estate investment, like, not ring, because that implies crime, but basically they had real estate investments all over Atlanta, which already sounds like a scam to me because we all know Atlanta is one of the capitals of scams. We have, you know, Brooklyn, we have LA, we have Atlanta, we have Nigeria, Omo Niger. Like, we have our spot.
Nigeria, though. Nigeria is still trying to get me in my emails, okay?
Oh, Monija. Okay, so so they have all these investments all over Atlanta. Basically, he and his employees would go to the Home Depot together and buy expensive, high-quality materials. Then, once the investor was gone, the employees would take all the expensive, high-quality materials back to Home Depot, return them for cash, which was fine because they had all the receipts, and replace it all with cheap materials that they could then install in the house. That way, they could pocket the difference. Later, the investor got a terrible reputation for selling awful properties with cheap materials, but it's a solid scam for these day player labor folks, and real estate investing and house flipping was already a scam in itself, so boo. Eventually, I love you, Samantha. Eventually, the material scam stopped working because I actually heard about it from the Home Depot employee who fucked up the bag. He started asking for the original card for returns. So that was that.
Yeah, I can't believe that they weren't asking for the original card to begin with. That seems pretty basic.
Well, and it seems I don't know, a thing of the 90s to not say you have to put it back on the original card. Where are they giving you cash like that?
I know. I mean, it's Atlanta. Because I was thinking... No shade, Atlanta. I'm going to come there. Y'all been asking me to
make up whatever rules they want. Like, that's bizarre.
Did y'all see Cryreese recently? That's what I call Tyrese.
Oh, Tyrese.
No, not Cryreese. Shut up, Lacey. I'm dead.
A whole kerfuffle in the Home Depot because he was like, in the Home Depot with the people who were doing the repairs on his house, which to me rings out like, did you meet them outside? Because why are you having to be
why
there
are
with
you
them?
Going on a
hire
trip
a
with them.
Contractor
right. Yeah,
don't you need to be right. doing fast 25
I'm in a rental and I even know furious. That the contractor's supposed to go do that stuff on their own,
right? Like, you're supposed to be doing fast and furious 25 so corners. Furious so quick. I love that the Fast and the Furious franchise, all the names, I'm gonna find them right now because they don't make any sense for and this is a tangent, but I just need you guys to know how much they don't make sense. Okay, Fast Furious.
There's like 16 of them, isn't there?
I
thought there were like 20 something.
So it starts in 2001. The Fast and the Furious, what we all know. Then the next one, Too Fast with the number two, Too Furious. Then we have the Turbocharged Prelude to Fast and the Furious.
Oh, so we're doing a prequel. We're going back in time.
Yeah, so when they was slow and happy. And then we're going to go back to when they was fast and furious.
Dad.
So then we have the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Then it's Fast ampersand Furious.
You got to switch it up a little bit.
That's the fifth movie. Like, just call it Fast Furious 5. Why is it Fast ampersand Furious when we had the Fast and the Furious in 2001? What's going on? Then it's called Los Bandoleros in 2009. Okay. Then it's called Fast 5. It's not the fifth movie. I'm confused.
Well, is that after they lost? Is that when they lost Paul Walker and they had to like cut it back?
Oh, and then didn't they use like CGI or something to put him in one episode?
I think they
did.
AI. See, then we have Fast and the Furious 6. And let me go back because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's
why is Fast and the Furious 6 the eighth movie?
Yes.
What are we doing?
Well, maybe because. Not me trying to rationalize. Maybe because the prequel is considered to be like -1, right? I'm doing the math and mysterious.
Augmented matrices
just
over
math
here.
Math and mysterious.
Just move that one before they start. And then it makes sense. Then 7 is 7.
Well, Furious 7 is the name of the ninth movie. Furious 7. We've taken off Fast. Though I'm pretty sure they're still going to be Fast, but they were like, nah, just Furious 7.
They were real mad. They were real mad.
And then in 2017, we have The Fate of the Furious. What is the what is the naming situation here? Yeah. Then we have F9.
They're getting lazy.
Yeah, it's just called the letter F and 9.
Yeah,
and now
I feel
we
like
have
that's some uncle
X.
Like just learning how to use his keyboard. He's like, "Oh yeah, I wonder what this button does." Okay, now that's the name of the movie.
But back to Cryreese. I didn't lose the thread of Fast and the Furious King. The reason that this popped in my head was because he was recently having a kerfuffle at the Home Depot because he said he went into the Home Depot with his day. Laborers or whoever was doing the construction on his house. And he said he spent over $10 million at Home Depot over the years,
what?
Like redoing his house. Yeah, that's what he said. And he was like, oh, it's too many people in here who are recognizing me from all these Fast movies.
Nobody in Home Depot recognizes. Tyrese is the definition of black famous. Like,
truly.
Black famous.
Because truly, outside of black people, who is claiming Tyrese? Do you really think in the Home Depot he's getting mobbed by people?
No, I feel like they're going, is that Tyson Beckford?
They totally are. No. And they don't even know his
name.
That's a compliment
to Tyson or to Tyrese.
Isn't the guy from the music video? They don't know his name either.
So he's suing them for over $1 million over alleged racial discrimination. And the racial discrimination comes from him going to the Home Depot. And he said, everyone saw him and was like, oh my God, that's him. He's so fast. He's so furious. Like, we got to get in his face. So he was like, I'm going to go to the car, but I'm going to walk out with like a candy bar and I'm going to tell the register people like, hey, these are my people. I'm leaving my card. Tyrese. They can use my card at the Home Depot.
Tyrese. What did you do?
He was like, I got to go to my car and get fast and furious in there because I'm just getting harassed by so many fans. So he's sitting in his car waiting for these people who are doing the construction. And then the Home Depot person was like, whose card is this? And they were like, it's Kyrese's. Remember, he just left with a Snickers bar. Like, he's so fast and furious. Come on. And this Home Depot person was like, no, where is he? He needs to come be here for this large purchase, which I understand, which is why this letter doesn't make any sense to me, because this celebrity investor around in Atlanta, whoever was working at the Home Depot at the time was like, yeah, you can return all of
but
these
see, that might be why
cash.
They were being extra tough on Tyrese and his crew, because this has been a scam usually with these credit card situations.
Right. Because Kyrese could immediately be like, it was fraud. I wasn't even there. So it makes sense to me that the Home Depot person was like, I'm not about to lose my apron over your ass. Like,
talk about it. But also, where's the racial discrimination? But is it because his people that he had were another? I'm perplexed.
Well,
by
so
that.
Kyrese,
I mean, by his own admission, he left the store without paying for a Snickers bar. Which, again, you know, it sounds like he left his credit card for a reason.
Yeah,
but then
he got on FaceTime and was like with the people who were doing the construction, and he was like, show the cashier my face, because he was like so famous that he couldn't come back in the store, and so famous that he didn't realize, like, why not get a business card, like, and put it in their names if you're working with them, like, right. My assistant has a card that I pay for, but it's in her name, so like, right. I'm not FaceTiming people from my car being like, I'm so famous for my collie, which is not really true. I'm not famous.
Also, Tyrese has been famous for a long time. Like, this seems like something that you would have taken care of a long time ago.
So yeah, this kind of bumped me into this letter, because I was like, another celebrity who's at a Home Depot having a issue. Because then Kyrese comes back into the Home Depot and starts really getting into it with the employees. And that's where he was saying the racial discrimination was coming in. Because he was like, I was on my FaceTime and I showed FaceTime. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a Home Depot employee, how am I going to be like, oh, yeah, well, he did FaceTime and say we could use his card. There's no record of that.
But also a random person FaceTiming and being like, yes, that's my credit card. How do I have any confirmation that the person in the FaceTime is the same person that owns the
credit card?
It
smells like a scam to me. It smells like a scam. I would be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like you said, Lacey, I'm going to lose my apron over this.
And it's also some like Gen Z white kid working the register. They don't know who Tyrese is.
At all. And I think that's really why he's suing. He's suing because he's like, we done had 10 fastest and furiouses. I was a baby grown man and baby boy in a uterus. No. They play that on BET every day and every
they
night.
They sure do.
How don't you know me? I'm Kyrese.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised that the person at Home Depot, like you said, was not willing to risk their apron. I wouldn't either. A FaceTime is not a valid ID for a credit card. They asked for your ID for a reason.
Right, but he was like, my ID is my face.
I'm also like not here for a celebrity just being like, you don't know me? You don't know me? No, I don't, sir. We're at a place of commerce here, right?
Yeah. And I will say also, like, there's a number of times that I've seen celebrities where just seeing them out of context is really difficult to figure out who they are. Like, if I saw him, I've never seen the Fast and the Furious movies, so I don't know if he's wearing
not in the Fast family?
Or if he has wings, or he has, like, you know, special laser tennis shoes on. I have no idea. But I'm sure that even if people in the store had watched the movies, they might not recognize him outside of the context of standing next to Vin Diesel.
Right.
I know he's in the movies, right? Vin Diesel?
Yes, he is. He is. Okay. He's the star. He's the fastest and the most furious.
He's the fastest. Yeah. Who's the most mad?
I think it's Tyrese. Vin Diesel is fast and Tyrese is mad. It's a great combo. No, but I agree with you, Fran. Like, Angelon, like, when you are on TV or in any show and, like, we work in entertainment, I will never try to be like, oh, I'm on the show or I'm on TV. Because if you don't know, why am I over here trying to pull up my IMDb and give you my resume and my indeed.com and shit? Yeah.
And look at my LinkedIn! And the way Photoshop and AI is set up, you can just fake all of those receipts. People can say like, oh, this is my IMDb and it's not real, you know? And again, if it's somebody who does not watch a lot of TV or a lot of movies, you're expecting them to just like roll over for you. Mm-hmm. And it's really presumptuous.
I don't care about you. Even if you are on my favorite TV show, we work in entertainment, but I'd be like, oh, there's girl. Who's doing that? Who does that thing that I like?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also like, that's a rarity because we do work in the industry.
Right, I want to be left alone too.
Yeah, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who will fangirl and get so like, you know, flustered by seeing a celebrity. But I would think, I don't know, I would just not want to take advantage of that in that situation.
Oh, like, I want to. If there's been times where it happens, but I know that I can't ask for it because there used to be that phrase in a lot of old movies about, do you know who I am? It was always like an angry white woman or an angry white man. Do you know who I am? And it's like, if you have to say that, they don't. Like, then why are we walking down that road?
Exactly.
But like, my favorite podcast is The Read and Let Me Fix It. And I went to a Read Live recently, and I went to the box office and tried to like upgrade my tickets because I got them last minute and they were sold out and they were kind of like really high up in the balcony. But I figured maybe some people like didn't come, or maybe there might be some tickets that are better. So I was going to pay for them. And it was one of the first times that because I don't know why people recognize me from this podcast. And then Jaquez Neal was like, because your face is on the podcast logo.
Yeah, and you're also on TV all the time.
Right.
And I was like, oh, right. So I went to the box office. And I was like, can I upgrade these tickets? Like, how much would it cost? And the lady at the box office was like, I know who you are. Don't worry about it. And got me front row seats. And I was like, oh, I like this. I like this scam. So... You know, I might start walking around with my IMDb just out next to my face. I'm not gonna say nothing. We'll just be like scrolling it, like, hey, can I get this for free? Come on.
Listen, if people genuinely offer you something, I say go for it. But it's the difference between do you know who I am and oh my god, it's you. I'm such a fan. I want to hook you up. And it sounds like Tyrese was upset that the latter didn't happen. And
that's
he was
what
expecting
it's giving.
Yeah.
That's definitely what it's giving.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have an unemployed roommate at home? You know who I'm talking about. Children! Yes, Whitney said they are our future, and don't you want to invest in theirs? I know you want to set your children up for success. Maybe you want to save a little coin on private tutoring because we know that inflation is high and these wages are not getting higher, okay? Which is why I love IXL Learning. IXL Learning, it's an online program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. No more trying to scam your kids as you try to figure out their math equations and their homework. And you know you haven't seen a trapezoid in about 20 years, right? So let IXL help you
out. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Scam Goddess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/goddess. Visit IXL.com/goddess to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price.
So back to our listener letter, Samantha. Let me fix it, crew. Delon, Fran, what do you think about the celebs' reputation being ruined by day laborers scamming them into like putting in cheap appliances and, you know, stuff in these flipped houses when he went to the store with them, or he or she went to the store?
I mean,
store
now
them,
I think it's Tyrese. You know. Now I think it was him.
I mean, I can't blame the scam. I think it's brilliant, but I also think it's a lot of work. I mean, I hope the dividends were there, because they're putting all the appliances in and then sending them all back?
No, they just buy them, then return them, get the cash for it, and then buy the cheaper version.
Oh, because the investor just was like assuming that they were getting all the high-end shit.
Yeah, because yes, the investor went with them to get the high-end shit. And then they go back after the investor and they return it and get some cheaper shit and take the difference in cash.
Right.
And so that ruined the investor's reputation. I feel two ways about this. Like, if you're going to take advantage of people, a lot of times, like in front of Home Depots, they'll be outside and a lot of them will be undocumented. And they'll be like, hey, like, do you need help installing this? Do you need help painting or whatever? And then sometimes they'll just like hop in your car with you and like go do the labor and get paid in cash and take care of their families. And I think it's an honest hustle. And I think that they, you know, this country is built on immigration. None of us like
talk
originated here other than the Native Americans. And so I think taking advantage of people who are in a situation where they don't have health insurance, they, you know, are waiting for labor outside of a place that they know they can get it. I don't mind them scamming back and being like, we're going to do the work. We're going to install it, but we're going to install cheaper shit so that you can actually pay us the wage that we deserve. Because there's a reason why you went and got day laborers to do it versus
Instead of getting a contractor.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
You know what? I'll also add to that, that these investors that are buying up all these properties, they are the reason that we're in a current housing crisis. So let's talk about that. You should get scammed because you are scamming the people who live in your community and are unable to find affordable places to live, because instead of offering affordable housing, you are driving up the market with all of these short-term rentals, and then the people who need a place to live ain't got nowhere to go. So I'm okay with y'all being scammed.
And to add to both of y'all, somebody's always getting paid. Somebody is always getting paid. So why not get paid? Why not try to drive the scam, right? If you're an investor, you're trying to short, like to your point, friend, you're trying to get the lowest amount you can for that property to upgrade it and sell it for the most, right?
Right.
So like
right.
Somebody's always trying to get some money.
Yes. And I would also add to that, if this person is a celebrity, you are then essentially taking advantage of other people by having these multiple properties. I just don't believe that anybody needs to be a landlord. You have one property, maybe an extra one that's a vacation home that you rent out from time to time, something like that. But if this person has enough properties that these day laborers are like, yo, they are not watching what's going on. We are able to do this scam multiple times. So not only are you trying to make a profit off of all of these different homes or apartments or rental properties, you're not actually like doing the due diligence of keeping track of what your employees are doing. So yeah, you are asking for yourself to get scammed.
So if you were to fix this, let me fix it. So basically what I'm gleaning from both of you is that if you're a celebrity, you shouldn't be a landlord. Honestly, no one should be a landlord.
I just don't love the idea of, hey, you need a place to stay, I'm going to make extra money off of you, when the reality is that everybody should have affordable housing. And considering the housing market the way that it is, I don't think anybody needs to own 5-10 properties that they're making money off of, when in reality, they aren't even doing any work. It's not like you're not providing a service other than a home that you had the money to invest in. So like, there's no talent there. There's no skill being used in order. You're just someone that had money to invest. So I don't know. I don't really love that positioning.
Well, and as somebody who is an apartment dweller, I can't get them to fix anything in my damn apartment. But the rent just keeps going up, though.
Not right? calling I mean, us dwellers. We all in apartments, not dwellers.
I feel like sometimes I'm doing them, they're doing me a favor. I'm like, I have had a leak in my shower for over a year. And these people are like, oh, no, we're coming. And nobody has come yet, you know? So, I'm with you, friend. Nobody should own an apartment. I feel like healthcare should be a right, you know? Having an apartment should be a fucking right in the world. How do we fix it? I don't know how you, I feel like everybody.
Fix the housing crisis. Hold on, right now.
God. Well, how do we fix this scam? I don't know how you fix the scam. I feel like they got caught, right? Did they get caught?
Yeah. So obviously the scam, is not good if you got caught.
They didn't go to prison. It was just that one day they tried to run it and homie in the apron was like, where is the credit card? And they were like, oh, never mind. And they just left. Like, it's so, I mean, I feel like they're kind of a hater at Home Depot, but I also side with them because I'm like, you wasn't trying to lose your job, like converting shit to cash, you know, because at the end of the day,
I'm losing my job for some random ass person and on the back of a celebrity. Hell nah.
True.
And Home Depot is not hurting for cash. I have no sympathy for Home Depot. So right. I say, listen, my fix is keep going. What's your next scam? Keep going. and do it to the man. Do it to a Home Depot. Well, in the Midwest, we have Menards. Like, who else can you scam? Because, like, that's a balance. You know, what's it? Robin Hood, right? You know, steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Yes. Yes. Love it. And I love that that's y'all's relationship with scams, because that's very much me. Like, I'm like, if you're scamming up, I'm on your side. Okay.
Yes,
down
yes.
with the man. We're yes. still on strike. Down with the man.
Oh, Lord, help. Help.
Right. So the historic hoodwink. Today, we're going to do an update on an episode that we did a long time ago. I was on a show. We're struck that I can't talk about, but I did this update. And it's Hollywood. And we're talking about Let Me Fix It. We're talking about Hollywood. And so today we're talking about the Hollywood Con Queen update. Okay. So the Hollywood Con Queen was an exceptionally talented catfish that conned hundreds of people in the film industry over the phone for a period of 7 years. However, this twisted con was as much about the psychological manipulation as it was about the small amounts of money conned from each victim. So the con was, they used skills of impersonation, mimicking accents, and insider knowledge of the industry. The Hollywood Con Queen would make calls all day in the guise of prominent women in the industry, such as ex-Sony chairperson Amy Pascal or president of Lucasfilms Kathleen Kennedy. So she would offer Hollywood gig workers, makeup artists, photographers, actors, lucrative jobs in Indonesia to shoot blockbuster movies on the condition that they could pay for their own way to Jakarta.
I mean, paying your own way, that's flat red
flag.
That
should have been a
one.
Huge red flag.
But people want opportunities, and we're in America, and we've talked about America this whole podcast. So they're not going to think about that. They want the job. So while there, the con queen would keep in constant contact, sending them tasks related to the role, offering them advice, basically keeping them distracted. So, oh, go here, go there. We need this product. We need this. And they're keeping them distracted from the fact that they're not getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd tell the victims every day that they meet directors and producers soon. So they got over there to Indonesia.
So they leave the country and mm-hmm. are then waiting around for instructions on supposed makeup job, costume job, mm-hmm. whatever.
The pay for play of it all is crazy. So you're paying this. You're paying this hoodwink queen. You're giving them money, and you're also paying for your ticket over there. That is crazy.
Yeah. And in the original episode, I remember this detail because it rung out in my head that sometimes they would land at the airport in Indonesia and there would be someone on a motorcycle who for some reason they had to give money to. And I'm not giving money to somebody on a motorcycle. Mm-mm. You can cross lanes. You can get away real fast. What are we doing? Why? And why am I giving you money for a job? Jobs should not involve me giving money.
Oh my God. Well, you know
what? Pay for play is crazy.
And on the topic of how pay per
pay for play should have been a red flag. The reality is there are a number of these sites for actors that you have to pay money to upload your reel. You have to pay money to put your headshot on. You have to pay money to put your resume on. You have to pay every time you submit. And they're legit sites.
Yeah,
I know people that get real jobs from those sites. There are tons of, you know, online sites that are for people working in customer service or people working in marketing, people working traditional quote unquote office jobs. And it costs money to have a membership to those websites. So I could, as much as I want to say, oh my God, I would never fall for that, I can also see why somebody who's desperate might think, okay, this is an investment in my career. And so I'm going to take this risk. You know, maybe they're reading The Artist Way and it's telling you, you know, you have to chase your fears and you have to face those things. And they're thinking, well, that's just my inner voice telling me this is a scam because I'm afraid of the opportunity.
Wow. Now, because better reverse engineer that. You better get inside someone's psyche and reverse engineer that.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, and I literally mentioned that book because I'm doing it right now. And there are all these exercises where you're supposed to kind of answer that voice in your head that's telling you you're not good enough, you're not going to make it, blah, blah, blah. And so those are the same voices that come up when you get encountering a scam, where you're like, this can't be real. This is too good to be true. And so if you're trying to not listen to that and push through the fear, this is a perfect example where you're like, well, if I don't go to Indonesia, maybe I'm not going to maybe I'm not cut out to be in this industry.
And it's also like really an opportunity in Indonesia sounds so fancy. It sounds so great. So you're like, well, listen, I have to pay a little bit up front, but I'm getting reimbursed, which I'm sure that was part of the whole deal. Like, oh, no, we're going to pay you back for that. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah, you're so right about it feeling really exclusive and special, because if it was a movie that was shooting in your own backyard, you might question it as, oh, this isn't legit. But if it's in another country,
you're building a resume.
This must be something legit.
So while the Hollywood con queen generally only made a few thousand dollars per victim, some victims were conned multiple times.
What?
So back to what Fran was saying. Like, they weren't answering that voice in their head. They were conned multiple times. Several factors led to the ease of the scam. The promise of success in the industry puts people in the desperation mode. We talk about the despo meter, and we talk about exactly what you're saying, Fran. We talk about assessing how much you need something before you make a risky choice. Right. And having that conversation with yourself, or even saying it out loud. Sometimes I'll read some shit out loud and that will prompt me to be like, oh, this don't sound right. Or I'll tell a friend, this don't sound right.
Like, is the reward worth the risk?
Yes. Or also, like, and sometimes it is. I won't lie. I've gone down some back alleys and it turned out good. But I did talk to myself. First, I was like, listen, we could get murdered or we could have $5,000 from a tech company. Let's try it. And it worked out. But you do have to assess that risk. And I've also learned as a performer that the less that you fucking care about the job or getting it, the more you're likely to get it. Like,
that is so true.
I tried to book commercials for years and never, like, I would be like, oh, thank you so much, or send my headshot or send a little Starbucks gift card or whatever, because I went to some commercial class when I first moved to LA. And I never would book. And then when I started working in TV and I had money and I was a little more comfortable, I was still going to commercial auditions at that time. And I remember, like, parking somewhere where I had 15 minutes on the meter, and I came in and I was like, hey, I got 15 minutes on the meter. So if they can't see me in 15 minutes, I'm leaving. And I booked that job.
Wow.
They're like, her, she hates it here.
And I always hear that. And I always hear that from people who say, like, I was just about to quit the business, right? Like, I was done after this last audition. And so you went in there like, fuck this, I'm not even going to do this career anymore. And then that's the one that you book every single time.
My Broadway show, I was about to leave New York. I was like, I'm done with this. And the next, I was at my seventh callback for Hamilton. And the next show, I was like, ugh, I guess. And then they're like, welcome to Broadway. And
I remember you calling me and telling me, like, you didn't even want to go to that audition.
I did not. I was like, I'm done. But here's the thing about this scam. They got the people being scammed multiple times is nuts to me. Like, I this is a controversial statement, but if you let it happen more than once, like, joke's on you, you know.
Okay, George Bush, you fooled me once, shame on you. You fooled me twice, well, you can't fool me again.
I know. It's so hard. It's so hard, especially... This is one of those things where on the outside looking in, it's very easy to say, like, I can't believe that they would do that because we know the final result, right? Whereas this person is so good at scamming, they probably were like breadcrumbing enough because it's the type of thing where they probably gave them like a little bit of something that felt mm-hmm. real in order to hook them and keep them going.
Yep. And these are, to Fran, to your point, this is what they did. So they would promise success in the industry and put people in desperation mode. Only a small fraction of the deals done in Hollywood on a daily basis ever make it to screen, and they know that. And on a daily basis, the deals and communication can be done very informally, such as over the phone or via social media. So they had ways of lulling these people into this false sense of security because they were working all the angles. And it wasn't discovered until many years later through the investigation of Vanity Fair's Chameleon podcast that it was not a massive criminal organization behind this operation, but rather one person, a man named Hargo Bind Tahil Rahman. So just a little bit about Hargo Bind. I'm going to call him Hargo. He's 41 and the son of 1980s film producer Lausi, the last name, I'm not doing it again, an Indonesian man living in the UK. So he had all the jargon, all the facts,
so
all the words.
So he knew how to sound
because
like
of his daddy.
Yeah, he sounded like he knew what he was talking about.
He got it from his daddy. And at the time, he had an online presence as a food influencer on Instagram under... at Pure Bites and at I Spin the Tales. Now, I Spin the Tales, he's telling himself.
Okay.
It's the end of the line.
Well, and he's jabbing at you there. He's like, oh, you don't get it?
That's exactly what scammers like to do. They love just being so close to being found out. I feel like people like that get off on it.
Oh, hell yeah.
They do. They have to.
It's a profession, and it's not always about the money. Sometimes it's about like how many people I can trick, and that
sounds like
it
for this guy. If he was only getting a few thousand dollars out of it, and his father was in the industry, he probably already had a comfortable life. And look at him staging these photo shoots for his food blog. He's, you know, he has a few coins here and there. This was about, you know, the thrill of pulling one over on people.
That's sociopathic. Like, you had nothing else to do with your time.
But harm people. There's a power in it because it's like, oh, I made you do something that you didn't want to do. I'm powerful. And a lot of people get off on that. A lot of people.
And taking advantage of vulnerable people that are like, I need your help. Like, I'm trusting in you. You're my chance at breaking into this industry and probably boosting his ego and making him feel like I have these people in the palm of my hand.
Yep. And he presented himself like a normal guy, like clean cut, warm face. He likes CrossFit. And he believes in self-care, in quotes. So he has an Instagram video live that he once said, first thing first is you. If you believe in yourself, if you believe that the universe conspires in your favor, you're going to get by easily. So what he meant by the universe conspiring was his ass conspiring in his favor, and you need to believe in him. So he knew how to trick the girl. So in reality, Hargo was a con man cast out from his family and with a penchant for manipulation. So you know when your family is like, we done with your ass, because like bloodlines were all like, I guess I'll stick with you, even though I hate you because we got DNA together. But when your family's like, we're done with you, bitch. Oh, you're
really
awful.
Messed up. Yeah.
So in the early 2000s, Hargo went to several colleges in the U.S. Why several? Wow.
Did he take advantage of acting students?
He was active in several competition speech teams. In 2000, he reached the quarterfinals of the National Forensic Association competition of persuasive speaking. And obviously...
Wow. Not a scammer doing his homework, being like, let me work on my skills.
Let me get a degree in crime. I know that's right.
He should have got into politics is what he should have done.
Right. Listen, he might.
Politicians are scammers left and right.
Left and right. I always say on this podcast, if I wasn't actor and a scammer, I would be a politician. Like, I could talk, I could give you a good speech and promise you a lot of shit and then get in the office and not do none of it. Real easy. So So it's not just about the money, which is what Fran said. So y'all be knowing. Let me fix it. Y'all on the ball, on the money. While in prison, because he did go to prison, Hargo once called in a bomb threat to the U.S. Embassy using a phone hidden in his cell and in several different accents. So he was calling in bomb threats. He's just petty. Like, he was like, I'm going to call
I'm surprised that he didn't go into entertainment. Like, if he's good at all these accents and his dad worked in the business, again, DeLon, you called it about sociopathic tendencies. Mm-hmm. He clearly is smart and clever and has all of these talents for voices. And this is what he used it for?
Right. And you know, like, I'm, you're a man who can fake being women accents perfectly.
That everybody part. Exactly. People thought he was a woman this whole time.
You should be on SNL. What are you doing?
He should be doing cartoons.
I think he should be doing cartoons. There was probably a whole he's traumatized from like not getting the part, guys. Mm. He tried and tried again, and he was not cast. And I think this is his payback. Oh. Because why would you not employ all of that shit?
Oh,
why
my God. He's a failed Nepo baby. He's like, even with my daddy in the industry, I couldn't book.
And so he was like, I'm going to destroy the industry.
No, wait a second. Look, he's already scamming me into feeling bad for him. now I'm empathizing with him.
I love it. So he had also allegedly threatened to blow up the Pentagon.
Oh, my God.
While living in the U.S. He once convinced Enrique Iglesias to play a non-existent Miss Teen Indonesia pageant. And Iglesias even flew out to Jakarta before realizing that it was a scam.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Enrique, I'm so sorry.
He really knows how to freaking sweet talk people.
Mm-hmm. I want him to do a master class. I want him to do a master class.
Is so there a SAG and WGA strike discount for the master class?
Because we need it.
Oh my God.
And these scams had no monetary benefit. So back to your point, Fran, and back to your point, DeLon, he was just doing this to be petty. And as a petty human, I kind of lived for that. He just wanted to feel powerful. So with the Hollywood con, there were often two parts. During the first part, the con queen, that we know now as Hargo, lured people in with kindness and promises of exciting experiences. According to Vanity Fair, the con queen often told people he was allegedly conning that he wanted them to feel safe. And he wanted them to make him feel safe too. So he's like, this is a safe space for robbery, okay? We're doing soft burglary, okay?
Not him using self-help language.
Okay.
It's good. So when the other shoe dropped, there was no job, right? The con turned into breaking people down and crushing their dreams and telling them they'd never have a career in Hollywood.
Dwan, you pegged it. He is telling them.
Sociopath.
All the shit that his inner voice has been telling him about his own career.
Yeah. And instead of shutting down that inner voice, he was like, let me share it with the girl.
Let me make money off of this inner voice.
Yes. And so he would say this to his victims and actually try to convince them that it was their fault that meetings were missed or shoots were canceled. And this is a common con. We saw it with Lulu LaRoe, where when they started sending moldy leggings to the girls and the MLM and shit, and they couldn't sell them in ugly patterns, the husband in Lulu LaRoe would talk to these women and be like, you are not selling these leggings because you're not good enough. You need to put them moldy leggings in the oven and get to fucking work. Get on the block, bitch.
And after
like,
you've
already spent
your own, after you've given this man your money, after you've left the country, after you've done all of these things, you've been broken so down that you then believe, this is my own fault.
Yep.
You know what's really messed up about it is that he's propagating that kind of trauma. But like somebody who is just coming into this industry, having that happen to them, it calluses your heart. It calluses your whole spirit.
Yeah.
And how do you come out of that? You don't.
You need your spirit to do this job.
Well,
That's what people don't understand is that acting, writing, like all the things that we do to create is coming from our souls. And so when you when you try to break my soul, which it ain't broken, thank you, Beyonce. But when you try to break my soul, then like, how can I do the work that I'm putting my soul into? So it's fucked up. And this is a little fucked up, so I'm going to skim over it. We'll put a trigger warning on this. But sometimes he would regularly convince actors to act out sex scenes over the phone. Over the phone, while he posed as a female producer. So he knew, like, acting like he was a woman, obviously women don't commit as much violent crime. We're not necessarily always the predators. So he was making people feel like they were...
Wow.
We can be. Women can be, but... Yeah. I don't want to say we. I don't be doing that shit. But women can be, but we're not known for that. You know what right. I mean? Like, when you put your keys between your fingers and make a fist and you're walking, you're waiting on a man to try to grab you, right?
Yeah. So I mean, he's definitely just playing on, again, like, people's insecurities and their inability to discern, like, this doesn't feel right. And maybe, like, instead of trusting that voice, he's like using this fake persona as a woman and then saying all this stuff about self-help and safety and all this stuff to mm-hmm. kind of trick people into trusting him. What a freak.
And it gets worse. On several occasions, he posed as Deb Snyder, who was the wife and producing partner of director Zack Snyder. And he would act out deeply personal conversations with potential new victims. So this implicated not only the victim, but actual Deb Snyder. Many other women impersonated them, were also similarly implicated and angry about it because they're like, you're over here using my voice, you're using my likeness, and you're harming people. So now these people are out here thinking that I harmed them because you were pretending to be me. Like, he literally is so fucking sick, Delon. You are absolutely right. One of the victims said, all this time, he was just a wannabe influencer trying to prove to the world that he was worth a shit by pretending to be someone he isn't and funding his fake lifestyle with dirty money. And he was arrested in November of 2020 in Manchester, England, in part because information that was discovered by Vanity Fair's investigation. And in his last virtual hearing while awaiting extradition, proceedings ended in profanity when he turned to a Variety reporter and addressed them directly by repeatedly stating this: fuck you, fuck you, go fuck yourself. And you see what I'm going to do to you in America? I'm going to fuck you over. So he's still got that ego. He's still you caught
this
me.
This is a deeply unwell person.
What does his dad do to him?
Right.
Like, what? Who hurt you, right?
Who?
I mean, somebody hurt you.
Who?
I think you were spot on about him wanting to be in the industry because it seems like he is obsessed with film and TV mm-hmm. and has an obsessive personality around collecting people to take advantage of and impersonating all these people. Again, not to give him compliments, but he must be good at doing all of these voices and accents mm-hmm. to manipulate and confuse all of these people. And it sounds like he's really bitter that he hasn't been able to do anything with those skills other than scam people.
Mm-hmm. He's like a really successful telemarketer. You know, I did telemarketing when I was in high school and in college.
Oh my God.
Because they're literally, it's a scam, right? I literally was trying to convince old people to get insurance.
Delon, not you being in the scam.
Listen, confession,
I was making $16 an hour.
I did telemarketing too in college.
I was trying to get these old people to buy insurance for their appliances. Meanwhile, they already have a warranty on their washer and dryer, right?
Yeah.
He would have killed it. He would have killed it. I had no heart for it, but like
crushed that, it. Crush. I guess I did telemarketing too, but it was for Barack Obama. I wasn't old enough to vote in his first
election.
No, that's
not telemarketing. That's phone banking.
Yeah, it is phone banking, but it is also telemarketing.
It is. You're right.
It's just a cuter way.
It's also doing a service, though. It's cuter. It is.
But in Texas, it was like, you can vote in both primaries. So in Texas, they cheat. And they'll like vote for the candidate in the Democratic primary that they think their candidate can beat. So like, I was calling people who were registered as Democrats who were Republicans, and they'd be like, my dog is Republican. I'd be like, okay, well, thank you so much. That was something someone said to me. And I was like, okay, well, please consider voting for Barack Obama. Be the change you want to see. Like, as a kid in high school. And very funny that they let kids do those things. I couldn't vote, but I could go, like, telemarket or phone bank. So, yeah.
Thank God for you.
So this, you know, Hargo, he storms out of the courtroom after that. The U.S. legal representative, we're getting to the end of this. The U.S. legal representative then made his final submissions to the court for approximately 15 minutes before an alarm suddenly sounded in the courtroom and an automatic message said repeatedly, attention, please, due to an emergency, it is necessary to evacuate the building.
No, that was him.
It was discovered that a fire had broken out in the courthouse basement, prompting 300 people to evacuate the building in England and at least one person to be transported to the hospital. It's unclear how the fire started. Hargobind currently awaits extradition to the United States and faces 8 charges, including aggravated identity theft and wire fraud. Wire is where they get you. They're going to put him under the jail for that wire. That's the number one scam thing. Don't do Western Union. Don't wire. Don't use the mail, because that is how they will get you. Okay, the USPS don't play. They got hands just like Waffle House, and they're going to put you in that fucking truck with the doors open, and you're going to be locked up, bitch. Don't do it. So one of his only public statements consisted of lines from the William Shakespeare poem, The Rape of Lucretia. And this is what he said. Time's glory is to calm contending kings, to unmask falsehood, and bring truth to light. So now he's trying to act like he wasn't the falsehood and that he's bringing it to light. And we have some images that I'm going to show y'all real quick. And then we're going to get to Scammer of the Week. But I'm so glad that Hargo got caught. I talked about this on a Struck show, so I'm not going to say the show. But we talked about him getting caught. He is obsessed. He's quoting fucking Shakespeare. He wanted to be a prominent actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Legit. You know what? He probably went to a school. Dad didn't pay for any of it. He didn't give him no help. He's totally disgruntled.
Do we need him on the picket line? Because it feels like he got hands.
We definitely need him at the negotiation table. I'll tell you that.
Oh, now that might be part of his restitution.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Use your evil for
the
good.
Studios. Absolutely.
Hargo,
Fran Drescher,
come over
call
here.
Him up.
Use your evil for good, Hargo. We will embrace you if you
or
get us
our
rights.
Or we can have Hargo on the phone pretending to be Fran Drescher. I mean, let's play to his right. talents.
Okay.
Oh, he could easily do the nanny. Oh,
oh
he could
yeah.
do that.
He could
so
do
easy.
All the voices of the negotiating committee to get the studios to do what we want.
He could do Zaslav. Like, he could do everybody. And then all of a sudden, we have a deal. We have a fair deal. And everybody's like, how did we get here?
And you know what? I feel like if you just gave him a little extra role in a movie or something, he would be very happy. That's what he's, that is what this is all about. Is he him, what, his failed Hollywood dreams.
I'll write a movie for him if we can get this deal right. Shit.
He needs one. He did such a great job. So wrapping up the show, the end of the show is Scammer of the Week. That's where we highlight a charlatan who may or may not be worthy of our praise. We know Hargo isn't, but Hargo, you have a chance to do something hilarious and turn this around. So we're hoping that you hear this and do the right thing while we're on strike. So, but Scammer of the Week, a teenage con artist has been arrested after allegedly defrauding a car dealership out of almost $100,000. 19-year-old Zachary Brent Bailey from Apache, Oklahoma, entered a dealership on April 19th wanting to sell an Acura MXD.
Oh, sorry, that neck.
He got a long ass neck.
Why is his neck so long?
Why is Please your neck a CVS receipt? Why is your neck?
Who is this giraffe up in here? Not a CVS receipt.
Why you got the wall, the Great Wall of China neck? What? Why? We can see it from space.
He got that African neck bracelet or necklace cut off. That's what happened.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yo, necklace companies, hire him because you put so many on at once. I ain't never seen a neck give this much to height because the neck starts. This is a prison shot. We'll show you on the Instagram at Scam Goddess Pod. But the neck starts at 5 feet. And the neck almost
really
ends
does.
At 5'4".
It really
oh
does.
Oh my God. Lacey, good call. The neck is at 5 feet. Damn. There's a whole foot, 4 inches of neck.
How are you the descendant of giraffes?
Yeah. Oh.
Yo, he fucking up the whole... We used to be... What is
I feel scammed because I was expecting him to be really cute. Like, I was fully excited. I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. I'm, like, so excited. And then I got neck. And I was like, oh, damn.
Evolution said we came from monkeys, but this nigga came from a giraffe for sure.
He sure
for
did.
For sure. Okay, he can see everything with that neck. God damn. Oh, my God. So, he tried to sell an Acura with his long neck. And employees were initially suspicious of Zachary, probably because of that neck. I would be suspicious.
Okay.
because of how young he looked, but found only $1,713.23 was owed on the vehicle and agreed to purchase it for $43,000. So he was like, get this Acura. It's the last payment is real cheap and y'all can resell it for more money. And the Acura looking good. He got it.
Real
like,
cute.
Yeah.
I want it.
So on May 1st, he returned to sell a 2023 Toyota Tundra for $66,500 that he owed only $2,200 on. And he received a check that day. Now, I didn't know that the Toyota Tundra.
Wow.
Yes, a teenager. And I didn't know that Toyota Tundras were that expensive. 66 G's? And no, if you sell it for that, what's the markup for the dealership? What? This Tundras must be really getting out there and driving over mountains and shit. Like, can I go to Everest in a Tundra? God damn. Okay, Toyota Tundra, sponsor the show. So it was soon discovered that Zachary made fraudulent transfers on the outstanding balances of the Acura and the Toyota loans the day before selling the vehicles. About 2 days after the cars were sold, the balance was reverted and the outstanding amounts appeared in full. So he was basically like, but you know, getting cars from dealerships, getting a loan from the dealership, and then like somehow doing some computer work, because come on, Gen Z, y'all done had computers since y'all was babies. And he went 0011100 and he changed the balance just long enough to sell the car, because he does it like a day before, so they don't notice it, right? It's not enough time. Just long enough to sell the car and get a check and run out the door with his long ass neck. And I'm sure he has to dip under every surface because.
No, his head can turn all the way around.
Oh my literally. God. Okay.
If you're playing Limbo, he is not the one to have on your team because he is making it under.
But also he got peripheral vision like a motherfucker, okay? Y'all gonna understand when you see the neck on the Instagram. It's long. So when the warrant was issued for Zachary's arrest, authorities discovered that he had a criminal history that included impersonating a physician. Let's go back to Hargo, impersonating. What? Let's go back to my favorite physician, Dr. Love. He was impersonating a physician. And I'm sorry, if you come in and you say you a doctor in a white coat and you got that long ass neck, I'm not going to believe you. I'm leaving.
And he has a baby face to DeLonge. I mean, he looks very
young. Doogie Howser over here.
Right. It ain't no way he went through medical school. Oh, man. But I kind of love
him. That's crazy.
He was also fraudulently obtaining expensive housing. Check back to the beginning of this episode. He was getting expensive housing fraudulently. He was getting vehicles, jewelry, and electronics. I want to study his brain. We can't put him in jail because I need to know. Like,
he be like prepping for the SATs or something? Like, he is a child. Where does he have the time to do all this shit?
That neck. I think it's elongating.
And where are his parents? This is my question with these kids. I'm like, where are your parents that you're able to do all of this? And how did you learn it?
Oh my God. How? We're becoming so old. Where are your parents?
I know,
where?
I know.
And that used to be, I love that, like, Gen Z would be like, oh, well, before we had TikTok and all these fun things, like, y'all was just sitting at home doing nothing. Y'all olds. And then someone retweeted and was like, bro, we were outside so much that there were ads running that were like,
do you know where your child is?
Do you know where your kids are?
Amber alert. Okay. Your baby is gone.
Oh my God.
I always laugh about the signs in LA that are like, take time to be a dad. It's never take time to be a mom. That's expected. But it's always like, fathers, do you know your kids? Hang out with them. Talk to them. And that's an ad that's paid for by a charity that is just like, hey, dads, don't leave when you have a seed. And
men. Oh, and, gosh. And My gender.
Oh, your gender, babes. But it's okay. We love the good ones. We praise the good ones like you, Jalon. So wrapping this up, at one point, he even drove around in an old surplus police car and wore a bulletproof vest and a duty belt and carried an unregistered gun. He's currently being held on $100,000 bond. And I'm so sorry. I think he's like the con queen. I think he's like Hargo Bind, where
he has to get off on this.
Yes. Yeah. He gets off on it. He's like, y'all made fun of me for being the giraffe my whole life, and now I'm going to show you bitches.
I mean, he did make some money off of the car flip thing, mm-hmm. which I guess makes sense. But all this other stuff, pretending to be a police officer, pretending to be a doctor, what do you possibly get out of that?
Pretending other than power. He wanted power.
Power.
Those are positions of power.
Yeah.
It's so true. Listen, don't let anybody tell you you can't be what you want to be, because this man was 17 different things, as was Hargo. You can be whatever you want to be.
At 19! Just, a prodigy!
He's literally a prodigy. He's done more than I've done at fucking 40.
We need to study him. Y'all, don't lock this baby up for long, because I, like, what is his name? Zachary Zach? We need to study him. He needs to be in the CIA. He needs to
offer a voice lessons class or something. Like, how are they doing these different personalities and tricking people into thinking, oh, you're a doctor. Oh, you're a police officer. Like, put your skills to good use.
I'll tell you what, I'm not getting away with that. They're not being like, you're a police officer. I'm not going to no dealership and me, I'm going to sell a car. I'm not doing any of that when I buy black ass, okay?
DeLon, it could be your car fully paid off. Tags say DeLon. You got like a personal license plate.
Right.
And they would still be like, I don't know. We don't trust this Negro. They call the police immediately. Like,
literally.
Like, why are you calling the police? Why my cops?
They confiscate my car. They're like, no, we're taking it, actually. It's not yours, sir.
Right. Listen, same. Every time I go to a space that's rich or expensive, they're like asking me, I feel like it's the most triggering question that I get from white people. What do you do? Because it's like, who gave you money, niggers? And how did you get here? And how can we stop them? So, DeLon, right. I understand fully. We have reached the end of the episode. We always ask at the end of this podcast, where would you like to be found? What would you like to plug? Obviously, we're struck, so it won't be TV shows, but anything you like.
I mean, please.
Well, again.
Of course.
Well, again, the pod comes out on September 13th, so we publish every Wednesday. We have our Instagram at FixItPod. And the world knows Fran, and Fran.
The world does know Fran. The world. The world.
Do that to me.
She'd be on every side of Twitter.
At us. Right. You can get at us via Fran, always.
And Fran, where would you like to be found that we are?
I mean, look, my publicist was just hyping me up over here.
I'm a professional hype man.
I love it. You can follow me on social media at Chescalee, Chescaleigh. Our new podcast is Let Me Fix It. You can subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Yes. And as always, guys, if you want to follow me and my personal shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-D, Valacy on all platforms. The live show on October 8th. Get your tickets. We're in New York. Get your chopped cheese. Get your bodega boys out. Get the cat. Bring everybody. And if you want to see these photos, if you want to see this neck, because you're going to see this neck and you're going to understand. If you want to see Zachary's neck. Scam Goddess Pod on Instagram. If you want to chat with me, Scam Goddess Pod on Twitter. Congregation, y'all, stay naked. Get out there and work your neck. Scam Goddess.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar. And our audio engineer is Sam Keeper. Research for the show is done by Caitlin Brandt. Stay scamming.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.